I want to go look at a bunch of different scriptures. So we're going to start in start in Isaiah.
I gotta stay in there. If you don't mind, I'll be right. I'm gonna just stay in there. Be quiet. You behind here.
I don't care. You get a. You want to get a stool?
No, I'm absolutely good. Just so you know. You know, if I'm gonna be tasked with running this place, I gotta have thorough notes.
Isaiah 26.
I'm just wearing my gum boots. It gets so deep in here. Bullshit.
Isaiah 26, Holy?
Uh-huh. Isaiah 26 was a hymn written by Isaiah that was sung in the temple.
Interesting.
And, well, it says that, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. Now, what day is it talking about? We see that scripture over and over, in that day, in that day, in that day. Well, that day is always when you no longer see days. It's when you see that you have left time and space, and so it's no longer today. It's always eternity. And that's been true since the beginning. That's why the first member of the church is Abel. And the blood of Abel is called a prophet by Jesus, which is kind of interesting.
Where's that only?
It's in the New Testament. I don't know where it is.
Don't you have search over that thing?
Hmm?
Asking Nick, doesn't he have search? You just plug that word in and it'll just take you right there.
I can, but I don't, it'll interrupt my note taking.
But we're going to start, we're not going to start in the beginning. We're going to start in verse 9. Now, this is true for many of you, what the first verse, verse 9, because it wasn't true for me. I had absolutely no interest in God. I didn't even, I was an atheist or an agnostic, depending on what time of the day it was or what was going on, but I certainly wasn't a theist. But it's this incredible scripture. It says, "With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." When thy judgments are in the earth, not on the earth. When thy judgments are in you as the earthen vessel, then you will learn righteousness. All right, we could spend all night. Let favor be shown to the wicked, and it says in the Hebrew, the wicked one, you, your mind, let favor be shown to the wicked one, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness, he will deal unjustly, and it's in the continuum. It's he will continually deal unjustly, and will not behold the hand or the majesty of the Lord, because he cannot see, his mind is blinded. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see it. But they shall see and be ashamed at their envy at the people. Yea, the fires of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us. Now this next the next part of this verse is why we're studying this. For thou also hast wrought all our works in us. There's never been anything that happened in your life from before your mother's womb that wasn't by the hand of God. Now you can say and argue that point till hell freezes over, because there isn't one of you who hasn't done evil that you knew was evil. But the only way that you will see freedom is that you all your works have been, all your works have been wrought by Him in us. Now, just let that dwell. Now, go to Isaiah 45 real quick. And just keep your finger there. Verse 5. I am the Lord, there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things.
Well, that really torches a lot of people's jaw when you show them that.
Well, it's more than there. It's all over the place.
I mean, yeah, that just hits them so hard that God created light and darkness and evil and peace. They can't.
So what you have to come to the conclusion of that is there's no such thing as the permissive will of God. You know what that means? That means you have your own will and God allows you to do things, but that's called the permissive will. But the determined will of God, he's not doing this. That's wrong. And this is critical. If you have any kind of background that you don't think is right, because I kill people. And I mean, it was part of my job, but I can't forgive myself for that. I mean, I can justify it in my mind, but I can't forgive that. I can't forgive the damage I did to jillions of people in terms of, not jillions, but many, because I used people like they were tools. Can you forgive that?
I don't have a problem with it.
Well, you've been good.
I feel that there are certain people that have to do that on this world or in the world.
Well, anyway, let's go back to Isaiah 26. I just wanted you to see that. But again, we're in verse 12. Thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also has wrought all our works in us. O Lord our God, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us. Now who are these lords besides thee that have had dominion over you? Mostly these things up here, these voices, right? But by thee only will we make mention of thy name. That's a very awkward sentence. By thee only will we make mention of thy name. That means there is nothing that has ever transpired that isn't ascribed to him. By thee only will we make mention of thy name. Now again, as of tonight, all these voices, all these lords, listen, they are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore thou hast visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. Now, wherever you look, you see the perfect will of God alone. You don't see, well, God's going to change that some way. Wherever you look, you can see that every knee is already bowing. Every tongue is already confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. They're doing it because there can be nothing created by God that isn't of him. I mean, it's impossible. You understand? All things were created by him and for him. He sustains all things. Upholds all things. All things were created for him and by him. Now, what does this mean? Well, we don't have to go to all these. I'm just going to read some of them. For in him, in Acts, when Paul is speaking at Mars Hill, it says, for in him we live and breathe and have our very being. Colossians says, he is before all things, and by him all things exist. Jeremiah says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Galatians says, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal Christ in me. Isaiah says, the Lord hath called me from the womb. Now, there's a whole lot of garbage taught in the name of God. And the one question that every one of us have had, if you're a serious believer, is, what is the will of God for my life? And God says, the will of God for your life is Jesus Christ. Well, what does that mean? And he says, that's none of your business. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. You never know what the next will of God is for your life. You only know, you don't know that the will of God for your life is to take that job. You don't know that the will of God for you is to go to meet with Gary Richardson in Oklahoma. But you simply are faithful to what's set before you on a daily, daily basis. Not ranking anything. The minute you rank anything, then you've stepped out of his will. Now, if we ranked the investigations that we've done and do above mowing the grass, then we'd be guilty of sin. If I rank meeting with Diane Sawyer more than raking leaves, then I'd be an idiot. And the same is true in every single arena of your life. If nothing, by definition, can be more important than anything else. Now, if you can hear this, it'll transform your life. Everybody understand a little bit?
Amen.
There's peace.
Right. You can never be out of the rest. Now, let's go to the biggie. We said all that to get to this. Let's go to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2. Verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now the word peculiar is the operative word. Some of you that have been here a while know what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
The word peculiar is the feminine of the verb form I am. You are the I am people. I am can never have a modifier. You can't be young, you can't be old, you can't be male or female, bond or free, American or Russian, Greek or Jew. You are an I am, and there's no modifiers. You're not young or old. Why? Because no part of your identity is wrapped up in the shell. No part, not one aspect of your identity is wrapped up in the container. Your total identity is wrapped up in him. And that, and we are the feminine of the verb form because we all are part of this mystery of the bride. Now, what about all the instructions in the Bible? Women should be silent in church. It's a shame for men to have long hair, or whatever it says. I don't even know what it says. But what that means is, if you're going to be after the flesh, then all those things are true. But if you see each other as each of us are the feminine of the verb form of the I am, then there is no, there's freedom. Now, that's not why we're studying. Why we're doing this, and to get to that point of I am, is whatever is going on at that minute, it's part of the I am. In other words, you can't label it. I am in pain. No, that's just part of I am at that moment. I am, give me another thing. I am hungry. No, that's just the condition of the I am at that moment in time. And if you can see that, then you are freed from all of the baggage that comes with identity and naming. Now, why is that so important? If you are in pain and you define it as being in pain, that's just a word. And it takes away from the revelation of I am at that moment. Some of you know that I was on the floor, incontinent, unable to complete a thought in my mind. I was curled up in a ball, and this has happened many, many times since I was electrocuted. And I had to ask God, and I certainly, because I had no capacity to think this, but I had to ask God for forgiveness for wanting to be delivered from pain. And it is all connected to this I am business. What? You just left me.
No, I'm with you. I've been there.
But you can't just been there. You got to stay there. You got to stay without labels. I am has no modifiers. So you have, if you have, I want you to understand the freedom that I am has then. There is never, you never have a preconceived notion of what's going to happen next. And every time you have a free preconceived notion of what's going to happen next, what you do is you rely on past experience to meet that situation, especially if you're a cop. But everybody does it. because those are familiar nerve patterns that you'll respond habitually by something. And we are taken away from habitual responding, and we respond only to Him. Does anybody understand this? Now, this is the definition of freedom. If you can hear it, does anybody not understand this? Does anybody have enough courage to say they don't understand it if they don't?
Understand it. It just seems really difficult to be in that state and keep yourself in that state.
The only one way to do it is you confess and say, Father, forgive me when you leave it. Father, forgive me if your thoughts bring you back to that. Now, there's over a billion neurons in our brain. And your whole life, you've been taught ways of doing things. You've been taught cause and effect. You've been taught ways of hammering a nail. You've been taught to look on both sides before you cross the street. You've been taught all of the polite things of society. You've been taught to call your elders sir. You've been taught on and on and on and on and on. Well, all of those are bullshit. There's not one of them that's right. If it is, it's by accident. You must be part of this new creation that has no a priori definition of what the next second is supposed to look like. Amen. That's what an I am person is. And it doesn't matter what job you're on. Well, I have to do this because I am. No. You have to let Him be in control at all moments. You know, there's my favorite discussion is about Babylon. And if you grew up in some conservative churches, I told you that Babylon was the Catholic Church, the whore of Babylon. Or some of them, I mean, it's just like people are saying who the Antichrist is. Well, it's that guy over there. Well, it's this guy over here. No, it's this guy. And what they've been wrong since the beginning of time. Been wrong about the Antichrist is, you know, by now, if you've been here a while, you know it's you, the instead of. And Babylon is something that every one of us uses every day. It's cause and effect. Yeah. If I do this, this will happen. If I don't do that, that won't happen. Or, you know, the whole thing. And that's what God wants us to come out from. Come out of her, my people. Come out of her. Touch not the unclean thing. Why is cause and effect unclean? Because if you know how to do something, you don't need faith. Now, you people are looking at me like I'm crazy.
You know, Lee, I'd like to make a comment on that, what you just said, because I used to think, when you talked about causality, I thought, man, Lee, you got to be way off the mark. And even a guy who, I don't know what he believed, Will Durant, who's probably recognized as the finest historian of the last 100 years, said that the age of the Industrial Revolution, ushering in the use of causality, was the beginning of the downfall of man. And he says that outside the context of being a Christian. So for a guy like that to say that, and then, of course, you teach on that, it buttresses what you teach, because before that man believed in whatever, but after that he believed in causality.
This is what the book of Daniel is about. The book of Daniel, we've talked about this before, but it's good to go through it again. It was a 60 cubit high, 6 cubit wide. It looked to be golden, but it was just gilded with gold. It was actually bronze. And it stood. We couldn't stand because it was who is physically unable, it shouldn't be able to stand if it's just that, you know, because it doesn't have a base. So this is what the Talmud says, that this is why Nebuchadnezzar went in and stole all the goodies from the temple in Jerusalem, because they had to build a base for this obelisk thing. And so spiritually, you leave Babylon automatically by putting all of the artifacts of the temple back in their proper place in you. And then that beast has no base and it falls automatically. But while it's still standing, the three young men, every time that the sackbut sounded or certain things, noises, whatever, everybody in Babylon had to worship, fall down and worship at that altar. And that's what everybody's doing when they fall down and worship at the altar of cause and effect. And everybody does it. I have a need, therefore I need to do this. I don't want that to happen, so therefore I have to do that. Whatever it is, that cause and effect is the religion of the whore. Cause and effect. Because if you know how to do something, then you don't need faith. And God must transform this thing. And even what makes me crazy is churches teach you cause and effect in the name of God. How to raise your kids better. Here's how you do it. How to have a happy marriage. Well, how's that worked out for you? How's raising your kids worked out for you? I mean, it doesn't work. But everybody's compelled to do it because it's system-wide.
And actually, you make God your enemy.
Right, because you're out of faith.
It comes against it.
And that's what God did, just come out of. Come out of her.
Come out of her, my people. Come out of her and touch not the unclean thing. Why is it unclean? It's unclean because it's no faith. Now, we've talked before, and you've heard me talk about the whore of Babylon sitting on the seven mountains of your mind. If it wasn't for that whore of Babylon and those seven high places of your mind, you couldn't walk across the street. You couldn't talk. You couldn't write. You'd just be blubbering. But they've served their purpose. Once the temple is dedicated, once you have said, Father, I'm yours without condition, then the worship on those high places, giving them importance, is all worship means. Amen. Giving them any importance is forbidden. If you want to be a part of a disciple, if you just want to be have a Christian label, you can go out and do anything you want to. But if you want to be a disciple, then you have to go to war with those things.
Yeah.
So that every second of your life is by faith. And you never leave that place. And until you do that, you will never know that Jesus Christ is in you. It'll just be a philosophy because he hasn't been tested in you.
Amen. What does it mean to turn the battle to the gate? I think I might know, but is it when you begin to prophesy and say what is everything that you're thinking, everything that's going on?
Yeah, I went to, with John and Carolyn Bojo, I went to a seminar supposedly about hormones. And it was a seminar taught by this woman that's supposed to be an expert, and every 5 seconds she was selling something. And I stayed about a minute, and I had to get up and leave, and I had to go out and sit in the rain because I don't have a governor. And I was about to say something that would have embarrassed everybody and probably got me arrested, but I had to leave. Because that's the one thing that I don't have, what makes some of you upset, is I don't have a governor. I just say what's there. And that's what it means to bring the battle to the gate. You can always con yourself into believing you're doing something right, or just it's just what you, well, this is, I'm just being, when you sit there and think of it, all this crap, and you never speak it. So you bring the battle to the gate, so it's, everybody says, sees what's going on inside you. So you're openly commending yourself. There's no hidden, nothing hidden.
That's why I can't even go to a funeral.
Well, I destroyed a funeral.
Yeah.
I did.
Pete can remember that one, so it's giving him a little hook to remember that by.
Well, anyway. The point of it is, then, when you're, we're back to I am and the label on it, I am this or I am that, don't label it. You don't need to say, I am sick, or I am in pain, or I am anything. And once you label it, then you bring it into the domain of this evil one. Do you know what I'm, you know what I'm talking about?
The most powerful three letters, just think about it, it's only three letters. Shortest sentence.
Why?
The shortest sentence in the most shortest... powerful sentence in the world, in the universe. It's just three words.
It is finished. Letters.
I am. How do you get shorter than that?
Well, anyway,
simplifies.
The point is, all the things that happen have happened from the very beginning by the hand of God, and all the things that are going on right now, they've happened from the very beginning in your life by the hand of God. Why label them? It's just a what is. Once you label them, then you've got solutions. Do you understand what that means?
Start down the rabbit trail again.
But the solutions are all part, and it doesn't matter whether the best solutions in the world, they're all part of cause and effect. You don't have to label the things that are going on with you. I'm happy. I'm sad. Well, who cares? It's nothing. It doesn't mean anything.
Amen.
Oh, you should have a smile on your face, Holy. Well, you dumb fuck.
And now we all have a smile on our face.
Nobody cares. Do you understand?
Amen to that.
Oh, Oli, I'm just afraid of you. Why? The only reason is you think I can read your... Well, that's right. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people that think I have some kind of mojo. It takes someone with the discernment of an ant to read most of your minds. Well, I might as well say what I used to say. Discernment of a piss ant. No, the point of it is, just be transparent. You don't have to act. That's over. You might get in trouble, but so what? You're in God's hands. Nothing can happen.
Yeah.
But quit believing all the bullshit in the world. It's not important. It's not. It's just there so you can ignore it.
Man, this is true.
And you've got to. That's why it says, "Exhort one another daily while it is still called today." It's not going to be called today much longer. But if you see somebody going on a trip, and you exhort them. I have no idea why anybody, but I have no idea why people ever hang around me, because it's not pleasant.
I can agree to that.
I've always had a masochist.
It's
your definition of pleasant.
And we have to let go.
You know one thing Ole used to say, and I think, I don't know about, you know, about if you, like he just said, if you're happy, the hell with it. Well, I looked at that word that he uses, that, and you know, mortify inordinate affections. That word means if you're happy, that you really not ought to be. If you're sad, that's bull corn. I won't phrase it the way he did, but it's true.
Yeah.
It's true, absolutely true.
Yeah.
Well, my purpose is to cause you to be free in him. And if the Son has made you free, you're free indeed. But that means you're free from all of the garbage that you've learned. All of the how-tos, all of the proper ways of behaving, all of this just garbage. It's all based on the mores of a time. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Galatians 5:1.
What?
I like that verse. We'll talk about Galatians 5:1.
Yeah, you talk about it.
Just to stand fast in liberty wherewith God or Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Amen. I am. No modifiers. Don't have to worry about impressing people or not impressing them. Don't need anything. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not need, I shall not want.
Amen.
You're free. You don't have to be shy. You don't have to be brash. You don't have to be anything. You just be you. And that's, the most difficult thing in the world is just to be. Because you've learned and you've been trying to be your whole life. And you've masqueraded. Anytime you're trying, you're masquerading. Just be. It's God's business what comes out. There's nothing about you that you're own anymore. You've been bought with a price. Now, somebody might bust you for it. But that's good. That's fine. I couldn't live this life without this community, because they certainly bust me, and I never pick on anybody, and they always pick on me. They hurt my feelings so bad. Well, it might be true.
Is that what you want?
No.
We'll work on that.
Are you admitting to being something you never portray yourself as? Right, Pete?
I'm just such a sensitive kind of guy.
Only hyperbole.
Anyhow, that's enough for tonight. Unless you have any questions or want to talk about something. No modifiers to I am.
Oh, this is beautiful to be free, and it's very uplifting. I mean, how then do we relate to the politics of the day, all the trash and the filth and everything else that we're all supposed to deal with?
Just let it go. It doesn't mean anything. It can't affect you. You're protected.
Amen.
You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Don't try to take your responsibility for yourself.
Yeah. We can't fix the world.
First time, Ole, can you give a brief summation? Mike's never heard you. First time he talked on the Book of Ruth, it blew me away. Because I'd always heard how great Naomi and Ruth were, and Boaz was a great dude, a type of Christ. And you'd think, okay, that's the story, that's the meat. Then Ole talked about who has the right, who belong to, without the price being paid.
No, the one that
has the right first protection.
It's called the Levirate marriage, and it's the one who has the right of first redemption. And there's a near kinsman than Christ for us. That near kinsman is the God of this world, and he has the right of first redemption. That's why Christ said, the evil one is coming, or Satan is coming, and he has no interest in me. He has no interest in him because he's weak, meaningless. He saw him, you know, on the cross. He saw him as a baby crapping in his pants, and he said, I can't worship that. Saw him on the cross, bloodied and helpless, and I can't worship that. I want to worship success. So he does. And that's what is so frightening about what the church in America is trying to do. They're trying to make themselves acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption.
Same.
And it's really sad.
Amen.
Yeah. That's why I pray for the church every day. Because they're being deceived. They're being led astray. Amen?
Amen.
You understand that? You know it's true. Those, that crap that they're teaching, you ought to have nice kids. And they teach you the mores of the society that you're in. Ought to have a happy marriage. Can't happen. Unless you husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. Risk everything. Anyhow, anybody else?